Our scripture text for the morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapters 10, verse 10. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1037. Again, 1037. The passage reads, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. May God bless those who've heard his word read.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. So glad that you're here. Glad to be with you. I meet a lot of interesting people. A lot of different places when I travel, and they are often absolutely terrific, but usually very interesting. I met Life the other day, and after we introduced ourselves, we sat and talked. I told Life I wanted to live a life beyond amazing. I asked him if he could help me. He asked me, "What are you doing with the one you have now?" As I thought about his question, he said, "It's interesting that you ask. Most people don't. They just assume what makes for an amazing life. So I ask, what do you mean?" He said, "You should always begin with God and his word." And then he continued, "An amazing life to many people is about fame and fortune, power and pleasure, accomplishments. Many people believe if they live me rich," he said, "or with lots of power, or maybe talent." And so, he said, "People look at the rich and famous and talented, like athletes, entertainers, intellectuals, politicians, financiers." God has Solomon address this in the book of Ecclesiastes. The preacher said, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity," but who reads and believes their Bible, Eric? I said to Life, "Well, tell me about yourself then." Life said to me, "Eric, I'm a lot of things. First," he said, "I began with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He said, "Second, God gave me to you. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He looked at me and he said, "Eric, I am a gift from God." He continued, "I'm something you possess." He said, "I'm yours. I belong to you. You can do with me whatever you choose. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life," he emphasized. Then he said again, "For what is your life?" You see, Eric, it's yours. But next he said, "I'm an action. I am something you do. You have to live me. You must choose who you will serve. You must choose which way you'll go. You must choose the road and the gate you will enter. No one can have me without living me." He said, "That's because there are some very important things you must know about me." He said, "First, I'm temporal. At some point I'll end. You can't keep me here forever, Eric. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you're just a vapor. Appears for a little while, then vanishes away." He said, "Eric, someday you're going to die." That was sobering. But he said, "Second, I'm eternal. I'll never end. You'll have me forever. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He said, "Eric, no one can ever destroy your soul." He said, "Third, you should know that what you do with me while you have me temporally will determine what you do with me eternally." The rich man is still being tormented. He said, "This is the case because God cannot be fooled. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He says, fourth, let me tell you what you should do with me. He said, you should value me. For I am more valuable to you than anything you can own. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, you should be careful with me because I'm fragile. Several things could take me. Time and chance happens to all. There are other people's choices. You remember Cain and Abel. Natural disasters happen. He said, your own decisions, Eric. You could be careless with me. Now, on the other hand, he said, you could love me, use me, cherish me, but you could also waste me, squander me, lose me. He said, but Eric, I should warn you, you can never replace me. Some people will waste their lives watching and wishing for other people's lives, he said. And then he said, well, you ask, well, let me tell you about some amazing lives. He said, there's Adam and Eve. They lived in the garden of God. They communed with God. They were in the presence of God. He said, that's amazing. But what about Abraham? He said, for 25 years he walked with God. He was given and received promises from God. He was in fact called the friend of God. And then there's David. He rose from a shepherd boy to become the greatest king in Israel's history. He killed the giant. He was called a man after God's own heart. And oh, there's Solomon. Amazing indeed. Wisdom from heaven. Riches beyond measure. Power to rule, beloved of God. And there's Moses. Saw the bush burned but not consumed. Delivered God's people. The plagues, the Passover, received the law, written with the finger of God. He said, I could go on. There's Joshua the conqueror and Samson the strong judge and Deborah and Esther, Hannah and Joseph and Daniel. He said, amazing, incredible lives indeed. In fact, God's record of them is these all died in faith. And God would say of these individuals, the world was not worthy of them. I sat, I listened, but then I interrupted and said, but I ask you about a life beyond amazing. He chuckled and looked at me and said, do you even know what that means? Before I could answer, he said, the word amazing means causing great surprise or wonder, astonishing. He said the word beyond means as to the further side of something. So what you're asking me is you want to know about a life that goes further, that is that which causes great surprise or wonder or astonishment. I said, yeah. He said, I'll do both. I'll tell you about such a life and then I'll tell you how to get such a life. And then he said, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him not. Smitten of God and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes or his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before his shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression, judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who will declare it? He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offering. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. As I sat in silent, life said to me, now let me explain. His life is unbelievable. It's so beyond amazing that even when it's told, it's hard to believe. That God will become flesh. That the divine nature will become human. And that the Creator will die for his creation. No eye ever saw it, no ear ever heard it, no mind ever imagined it. He said, it's amazing. It's beyond amazing. He said the distance between its start and its end is beyond amazing. He grew up in obscurity. Financially, he was poor. Socially, he had no standing. Physically, he was not attractive. But he will end at the right hand of God, glorious, victorious, triumphant. Beyond amazing. He continued the treatment he received from his fellow man versus the treatment he gave to his fellow man is beyond amazing. He was despised or held in contempt. He was forsaken. He came to his own, but they rejected him. He was distressed mentally, emotionally, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was shunned like one from whom men hide their face. He was held to be vile and worthless. We did not esteem him or regard him. And what did he do in return? He carried our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Why was he a man of sorrows? Because he carried yours. Why was he acquainted with grief? Because he bore your griefs. But still, he was not esteemed. Beyond amazing, you ask, the suffering he endured versus the sinless life he lived. He was pierced through, but not for his sins. They were for your transgressions. He was crushed and bruised, but not for his sins, but for your iniquities. The chastisement fell on him for your well-being. And by his stripes, you were healed. Beyond amazing, you ask. The disobedience and selfishness of the sinners versus the punishment given to the faithful servant. All of us went astray. Everyone turned to his own way, and yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Beyond amazing. The absence of a defense he made versus the right to protest he possessed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. But he was also despised and forsaken. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was smitten and he was crushed and he was chastened. And what did he do? Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. The amount of injustice received versus the innocent life lived, beyond amazing. By oppression and judgment, he'll be taken away. He was abandoned. No one stood up for him. He was killed for the transgressions of others who deserved to be punished. The juxtaposition of his life and his death, beyond amazing. He was righteous, but he died with the wicked. He was poor, but he was buried with the rich. He was innocent, treated like he was guilty. No violence was found in his hand. No deceit in his mouth. The punishment from God versus the service to God. Beyond amazing. Jehovah was pleased to crush him, and yet he rendered himself a guilt offering. Jehovah's pleasure was done by him. The unity he shared with God versus the apparent rejection by God. I and my Father are one. And my God, why have you forsaken me? God will see it and be satisfied. Christ will bear the sins of many and justify them, and the will of God will be accomplished. The depth of his agony versus the exaltation of his triumph. God will approve. He will triumph. He gave himself, poured out himself. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured the burden of sin. He pled for those who put him on the cross. This is the life beyond amazing. Life then said, is that what you want, Eric? Let me tell you how to get it. The eternal life came and lived like you. He left you an example that you should follow him. And so, seek God and find him. And when you do, submit to Christ with all of your heart. Share and take on his mind and set your affections on things above. See the eternal and not the temporal. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Before he left, he assured me, without Christ, you can't have a life beyond amazing. Because Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus is the way to eternal life. And without Jesus, you can do nothing. You met life today. He told you how to have a life beyond amazing. What will you do with it? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water. Let him save you. Live a life like him. And one day live eternally with him. If you are his child and you live in a way that's not pleasing to him, come home. Come home to the one who has the power to give you life. give it to you more abundantly. We can help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.